Today we continue our sermon series, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now, inspired by the book by Max Lucado of the same name, as we've journeyed our way through the book of Joshua. And as you may recall, the book of Joshua is that important point in the story of the Israelites, as they've now been liberated out of slavery in Egypt, and they are now entering into the promised land that God had set for them so many years before. And so over the last several weeks, we have journeyed our way up to the River Jordan. We've tipped our toe into the promises of God. We've journeyed our way through the Jordan and set up a remembrance of the mighty act of God. And then last week, we took our first city, Jericho, in a way unlike we've ever seen in battle strategy. It wasn't about armaments. It wasn't about the number of soldiers. It was about them following the instructions of God as they walked and circled around the city, tooted some horns, and went home. And they did that for 7 days until on the seventh day they walked around 7 times, blew their horns, shouted really loud, and the walls came down. There is no strategy like that today or in the ancient Near East. But part of what God wanted the Israelites to learn is that it wasn't about them. It wasn't about their armament or their muscles. It was about God and the gift that He was giving them. Well, today we are moving our way further into the book of Joshua, because the first half of that book is how it is that the Israelites went in and they began to have these successes in all these different cities as they moved through the land. And there's actually one important story where the Israelites did not succeed. And the question occurred, why? What happened that suddenly they could not take one of the cities they thought they should? And it turned out that one of the families had sinned. And so they had to take care of the situation so that they could continue on the journey that God had called them to. Again, God was teaching them that it is all about God and obedience to Him that brings them success. Well, in the second half of the book of Joshua, there is then the stories of how the land is now being allotted among the 12 tribes of the Israelites. And this brings us to the story of Caleb today. Caleb was a man who has a long history with the Israelites. He was there way back, 45 years earlier than this moment today, where he was part of the 12 spies that God told Moses to send to the land. And they were supposed to check out the land and see all the vegetation there and all the fortresses and come back and bring a report. And so Moses chose one man from each of the 12 tribes. And they all went in and they all saw the same thing and they all came back and reported the same thing. The land was amazing. It was filled with milk and honey. The grapes were as big as plums, but so were the men and the giants in the land. There were the huge people and even larger fortresses. And 10 out of the 12 came back and said to the people, "There is no way. We just can't do it. These people will crush us." It was only Joshua and Caleb who came back and said, "You know what? The Lord got us this far, and the Lord will get us there. It's by the Lord's promise that we go." Well, unfortunately, the people of Israel listened to the 10 other spies, and it says their hearts melted with fear, and so they ended up getting sent back out to the desert for 40 more years. Until they finally entered into the land through the Jordan, and we get to this point today where Caleb is now reminding Joshua of a conversation 45 years ago. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter 12, beginning with verse 6. "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Now Hebron used to be called Kiriath-Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. And then the land had finally rest from war. The word of God for us, the people of God. Caleb finally gets his land. It was the land that he saw when he was in spying in that original trip. And it was there that he saw Hebron. Hebron was a very important point in the story of Israel. It was at Hebron that Abraham was able to bury his own wife. It was Hebron where Abraham himself was buried. Hebron was the only land Abraham owned. Hebron was the place that Abraham's son Isaac was buried. Hebron was the place that Isaac's son Jacob was buried. This was a significant patch of land in the story of Israel. Caleb saw who was living there. He saw the residents there at that time. He knew what they were doing to the land. And the one thing he wanted to do was to chase them out and renew the land back to the way it should be treated, to the glory of God. This had been his hope. This had been his cause, his mission, all those years walking through that desert. He was waiting to get back to this point. As we think about the promised land life that God calls us to, a life where we know that our hearts need not melt with fear, for they are grounded in the love and grace of Christ Jesus, a life that is knowing the peace of God even amidst difficulties, a life that knows the joy of the Lord even now. And when we enter into this land, just like Caleb, each of us has a Hebron. Each of us has a reason that God has given us. Each of us has a part to play in the mission of God for the redemption of the world. And so my question for you this morning is this. What is your Hebron? What is that higher calling that God has called you to? What is most important? What is the part he has you to play in the redemption of the world? Because as you move into your promised land life now, that is an important question that we need to answer. A couple of years ago, there's a story about a doctor. He was a surgeon. He was a very good surgeon. And near the end of his career, he was really looking ahead to retirement. He worked all the time. And so he was looking to the day that he no longer had to work. He didn't have to listen to that beeper. He didn't have to race in. He was going to sit there and he was going to do what he wanted. And he already had an idea of what some of that was going to be. There were people who kept talking about cable TV. Well, every now and then he'd walk by a TV and see it, but he didn't have time. He was racing along, and pretty soon he heard people talking about hundreds of channels of cable TV. And he was looking forward to the day that he was going to wake up, grab a cup of coffee, sit down, and he was going to watch some TV. And not only that, but he was looking also to get out of a building. He wanted to get a Cadillac and get on the road. And so he was going to travel where he wanted to, when he wanted to, how far he wanted to. And so when people talked to them, it was amazing. He had two things in mind, cable and Cadillacs. And so he retired, and the day came, and he got his cable, and he began to wonder, flipping through those channels, just what people were watching. And there was a lot of something on there. And so he'd flip through the channels, and it wasn't quite as exciting as he thought it would be. And he got his Cadillac, and he drove for a while, but pretty soon he was ready to come on home. And then one day he got a call. He got a call from someone who said, you know, I know you're in retirement, but hey, there's this clinic. It's in a different country. It's a faraway place. And the problem is the people there do not have access to health care. And we don't have anybody to go out there and help them right now. Would you be willing to take a trip? Just one time. You can make such an impact. Just one trip. And so he said, sure. And he traveled out there, and he was at the clinic, and he helped the people there in the ways that nobody else could. And on his way back, he realized something. Something was stirring in his heart. There was this sense of satisfaction. A satisfaction that all the cable and all the Cadillacs could not give him. There was a joy in that that he had been looking for, that he thought he would have in retirement. But now he was beginning to experience. And so when they called him a second time, he said yes. When they called him a third time, he said yes. Pretty soon his family and friends were beginning to wonder about him. What's going on? Now, he had spent years telling them what he was going to do. But what he began to realize is that simply getting the things that he wanted wasn't bringing the satisfaction he needed. He needed to be a part of a higher calling. He needed to play the role that only he could play in a clinic that was so needed. And so it is with us. Each of us has a Hebron. Each of us has something that God is calling to, a part to play that only we can play. And so if we want to enter into our promised land life now, we need to answer the questions at this day. What is my Hebron? But of course, as we enter into this idea of our Hebron, we immediately are approached with the reality, just as Caleb did, that there were still people living there. There were still fortresses in the land. It's what I love about the book of Joshua. It is so realistic. They're entering into the promised land. They're entering into that land they've been praying about and hoping for all these years, only to find troubles all along the way. And so it is with us as well. When we're entering into our promised land, we don't get away from all of our challenges. We suddenly realize we're encountering new challenges along the way. But part of the difference between Caleb and others is this. When Caleb entered into the land, he saw something that others did not. If we went back to that original story, the 12 spies going into the land, when the other spies came back out, they described the land as well. But all they really saw were the big fortresses and the large people. Caleb came out and he said that he saw the promise of the Lord that will come true. He saw in his mind who God is, what God had called them to do, where God had brought them thus far, and where God was going to bring them to. You know, sometimes there's people who, when we encounter challenges and problems, we look at the mountains that seem to be in front of us. But others, like Caleb, they look at the one who moves the mountains. And that makes all the difference as we're entering into our promised land life now. Are we focusing in on the challenges, on the difficulties, on the struggles? Or are we focusing in on the one who has overcome all things and is willing to empower us, to guide us, to lead us, to carry us when need be, to enter into the life that God desires for us? God wants you to have a promised land life now. And in order to do that, we need to set our mind on God. I like the imagery of the apple. You cut the apple in half, you put one side in a bowl of nice, cold, clean, crisp water. You put the other half of the apple in battery acid. You lift it back up. Now, here's the difference. Your brain is the apple. That clean, crisp, cold water is God's presence. The battery acid are the problems. If you spend your life focusing on those challenges, the fortresses that are there, that's where your brain is going to end up. You're going to be struggling every step of the way. You're going to be challenged every morning you wake up. But when we begin to put our mind focused on God, when we recognize that it is in Him that is our salvation, we still recognize the problems. There are no rose-colored glasses in the book of Joshua, but we recognize the Lord who walks with us and makes a way for us. And so if we're entering into our promised land life now, not only do we need to have our Hebron, but we need to keep our eye focused on God, from whom our help comes. And then last, there's a word that we hear in this passage this morning. And if we go back in the story of Caleb, we run across the word time and again. It says that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Not just with his mind, not just with his heart, with his whole self. He poured his life into the Lord. He gave his life into God's hands. And I think about what Caleb knew at the time compared to what we know today. We know the love of God. We know the love of God who shed his blood on the cross, the Lord Christ who came for us that we may have life and that abundant, to take away the brokenness and the sin in our life that we may approach God and know his healing and his hope and his love. How much more can we follow God wholeheartedly? And yet how oftentimes it seems so difficult to do. If we're going to live a promised land life now, like Caleb, we need to follow wholeheartedly God. And I know for some of us, sometimes it's difficult because we don't always know what part of our lives is being held back. There's some part of our life at times that we're not willing to offer to God, to place into God's hands. And if we don't know, then it's blind to us. We don't know where to work. We don't know where to ask God to work in our lives. Well, there is a prayer in the Wesleyan tradition. It's a covenant prayer. And it is a very powerful prayer. Because, I don't know about you, but when I pray this prayer, almost always there's some part of it that makes me cringe. It makes me wonder, am I really living into that fully and completely? Can I really pray this and live this fully every day? And it's the part that makes me cringe. That's the part where I need God to work. So I can wake up each day and give my life to him fully and completely, that I may know the promised land life he has for me today. So this morning, we're going to end with that prayer. I'm going to invite you to hear these words anew. I'm going to invite you to consider the parts that seem so beautiful and profound and the parts that make you go, oh, I don't know. And they help us know where we need to work, where we need God to be at work in our lives, that we may know the promised land life that he has for us today. Will you hear these words? I am no longer my own, but thine, O Lord. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of your love poured out for us in Christ Jesus, and the beauty of the life that you call us to live in you. Lord, help us not only identify this Hebron you've called us to, help us not only keep our mind focused on you, but Lord, most of all, may we place our whole life into your hands. May we follow you wholeheartedly, and may we know that it is in you is our trust in our salvation. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.